What's the big picture? We're going to find out more from Bill Spriggs. He's a professor and economics chair at Howard University, plus Chris Edwards. He's the director of tax policy studies at the Cato Institute. That's a libertarian think tank based in Washington, D.C. Chris, Bill, welcome.
Hi, Farai.
Hi.
So let me start with you, Chris. She's calling Sandra based on the challenges that her clients are facing, more and better jobs. From your perspective, what role does government have in creating those jobs?
Well, I think she touched on some things in the interview. She pointed out that this is just a short-term infusion of cash here, and it doesn't really solve any long-term problems. In fact, I think the stimulus bill signed into law by President Bush makes long-term problems worse. It increases the federal deficit, which means taxes are going to have to rise in the future to pay off that debt. The funny thing about this is economists always tell Americans that they need to save more money, they need to pay down their credit card debt, and yet the message from the government with a stimulus bill is to spend, go out and buy flat screen TVs or whatever the case is. My recommendation to Americans, particularly low-income Americans, is to save this extra money. This is a bonus they're going to get, $600, $1,200. Save it. Open a bank account if you don't have a bank account. Put it away for a rainy day and don't do what the president is telling you to do.
When you think about that bill, how's that going to affect the economy if people just say, well, I'm going to put this check away, which sounds like good common sense on a lot of levels, but it's not what this is intended to do.
Well, I think in fairness, what is going on is that the president and the Republican Party didn't want to do the more logical things about extending unemployment insurance, shoring up the safety net that would particularly help these low-income families and a lot of middle-income workers about to lose their jobs. And so as a compromise, we ended up with these checks. What the economy is facing, you heard in the story, we have had a problem with not having before-tax wages go up. And during the last 7 years, in fact, median income for Americans has fallen. So Americans have run up tremendous debts. And so while it may appear to be counterintuitive, you have to say compared to what? If folks do save this away or use it to take down their debt, eventually they're going to have to do that. So this really still will allow for some stimulus, because compared to what would happen otherwise, households having to bring their balance sheets in order, this is going to help that process. Understand that with home prices falling at about a 6% rate, this means that if you own a $140,000 home, you're about to have $8,000 just get burned up from underneath you. So your debt-to-equity ratio, the amount that you owe worth what you are worth, is going to change dramatically. And families have to pull that in order. So they're going to save anyway. And anything we can do to still have money in their hands is going to help them out.
Chris, when you frame yourself, or Cato frames itself as libertarian, what's your ideal for how the government would deal with this big crisis? What does it mean to have a libertarian approach?
Well, on housing, for example, it seems to me that for many years the government has been pushing and pushing and subsidizing people, frankly, who only have marginal finances to buy homes, when in fact homes that they can't really afford, and frankly, folks like that should probably be renting. I think with low-income people that there's a lot of things the federal government can do from a market perspective, and I'll give you one example. The price of food in this country is higher than it should be because of government regulations and controls. The price of milk is higher because of government regulations. The price of sugar is two or three times higher than world levels, and that increases the price of everything from breakfast cereal and all kinds of other products. The ethanol subsidies are now pushing up the price of all kinds of crops, wheat and everything else. The prices are going up.
So you're,
this is
you're
all
arguing,
caused by government.
You're arguing. From your perspective, Bill, when you think of what kinds of programs really could help working poor Americans, what would you like to see happen?
Well, we've taken the first step. We've raised the minimum wage, and we need to do more to get the minimum wage back where it was historically, roughly half the average wage. And we have had 7 years where we've just let the minimum wage fall so that it is possible to to be poor and working in the United States, something that would have been illegal in the United States up until 1973 or 74. The other thing we have to do is, yes, low-income households probably should have help with their rent, and we have dramatically cut the programs that assist low-income households in getting access to affordable rental housing. So those types of things, yes, we need to do, but the economy is sick, and the government has a responsibility to address it. We can't treat it like, you know, we would here in D.C. when it snows. We can wait until March or May and have it melt. People get hurt in the interim.
All right. Well, thank you both for your perspectives.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Chris Edwards, Cato Institute's Director of Tax Policy Studies, and Bill Spriggs, a professor and economics chair at Howard University. They both joined us from our studios at NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C.